All right, well, I'll get right into the short devotion I have. I've already seen a number of yawns, so we'll try to overcome the desserts here. I want to take a little bit of time here to touch on something that the Lord's been dealing with me. And so let's begin in Hebrews chapter 4. We'll read verses 14 to 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What a privilege we have as God's children just to enter into his presence and make our petitions before the Lord. We have been given the right as his children to enter into the very throne room of the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, and to have the freedom to ask him for the things that we need. That throne, which is the throne of the Almighty, but for us it's a throne of favor, a throne of grace. What a benefit that we have, just to enter in that we might find help, grace, mercy to help in the time of need. The phrase there, time of need, it means in an opportune time, when it's needed. We can enter into the very presence of God and receive what we need when we need it, when we look to him in faith, whatever we need and whenever we need it. And that's a privilege that we often take for granted, and we're told to do it boldly. Now, that boldness is not arrogance. It's not boldness or confidence in ourselves, but it is a confidence that when we come in prayer, we come with that boldness. And the Greek word that's translated boldly there, it actually means to speak all, or to speak bluntly, openly, frankly, and honestly. Aren't you glad you don't have to play politics with God? You don't have to try to butter him up. You don't have to try to find a way in to get his favor. We come boldly. We already know we are fully accepted before him in the Beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to wonder if God's having a good day or not. Some people, you have to kind of feel them out before you talk about some things. But with God, you can come anytime, and you can speak boldly and frankly. I like that privilege. I tend to be a little frank myself, and I like to get to the point, and I'm glad I don't have to beat around the bush with God. God, this is what I'm feeling. You know my heart. I want you to know that I'm looking to you to supply what I need today, spiritually, emotionally, whatever the need is. And we come in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come in his merit, and that's part of our confidence as well. We know that we have this entrance that's been made for us because of what Jesus did on the cross. We certainly have the privilege to pray privately and at any time, and pray with our words. I think it's good for us to pray openly, even when we're all by ourselves. Somebody would overhear you. They might think you're crazy. I remember my great-grandpa Foster. He lived in an upstairs room in my grandma's house with his daughter. And the neighbors would comment from time to time that they could hear my grandfather pray, and his window was open, and he would pray just in loud voice, just him and Jesus. And the neighbors would comment about how they heard him pray. And so I think it's good for us to express our prayers, even when we're in private. And then there are those many times when it's prudent for us to make those little prayers in our mind and in our heart, in any time, in any moment, sometimes in emergency moments, that you can just whisper that prayer to the Lord in your heart. In addition to our private prayers, though, and this is what I want to touch on, and I want us to just be open to what the Lord would have for us this afternoon, but in addition to those private times of prayer, we see in Scripture that there's also power in prayer when we come together as a congregation. And so let's look at a few examples that we have, Acts 12 and verse 5 there, where the early church practiced praying together, and that those prayers were effective. Acts 12 and verse 5, this is a time when Peter was thrown into prison, and it says here that Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church, by the congregation. And we'll see here that that did mean that they were corporately together offering corporate prayer on behalf of Peter. And God answered those prayers. If you'll jump down to verse 12 there of that same 12th chapter of Acts, God answered those prayers. He sent an angel to miraculously deliver Peter from prison. And Peter had a hard time understanding it. In fact, he thought, am I dreaming or what? Is this a vision? And then he finally realized he had been set free. The angel walked him past all of those guards. He was cast into the inner prison, and he was not to escape. Well, this angel just walked past all of those guards. And then in verse 12 it says, of Acts 12, so when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. So again, corporate prayer. Peter's fellow believers had gathered together to pray for Peter, for his release, for his protection. And then while they were still praying, Peter showed up at the door. And when he knocked on the door, and the servant girl there answered, and she went and said, hey, Peter's at the door. And they said, no, he's not. Another example of how God answers above and beyond what we could think. Ephesians 3 and verses 20 to 21. Ephesians 3, 20 to 21. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. God's able to answer those prayers beyond what we could possibly think. To our surprise, sometimes to the degree that he answers, as was the case here with Peter. Over the last several years, because of the pandemic, and then our transition from our old building to this new building, we've gotten away from the practice of spending time around the altars as a congregation to pray together, to pray for the many needs of the congregation, not only our own needs, but also for the needs of different members in the congregation. And I believe that that's something we should be stirred to return to, understand the value of it, the importance of it. The pandemic and the transition, it simply didn't give us the opportunity to gather to pray like we once did. And the Lord allowed these things for whatever reason. And I'm not sure what all those reasons are, other than possibly to remind us of how important those things are. And when you miss them, then they become more precious to you. And hopefully that is the case, that we allow that to be the case in our lives. The Lord, in his wisdom and direction, allowed these difficult times, the last 3 to 5 years that we've gone through here as a congregation. But during that time, he's been faithful to minister to our needs, hasn't he? Again, different ways and at different times, but he's been faithful to us. But as we read in the Old Testament, I think we need to return to the old paths. Not old, just old habits, but those things that Scripture tells us are profitable and are beneficial. I honestly don't believe we could have done or should have done anything different than we did during this time of transition. Again, the Lord allowed it, and he gave us direction in the time. I don't feel that there was anything else we could have or should have done. But at the same time, I don't want that to be an excuse for us not to return to the things that God has ordained for us and that he has set for us as an example in his word. At the close of the service this afternoon, I'm going to invite all who will come around these altars. And when I say that, it's many can't kneel. I don't kneel much anymore because of my knees, and many others aren't able to do so. But to come around these front altars, front seats, or even in the seat where you are, just to take time for us to spend time, and it doesn't have to be a long time. And I also understand some will not be able to stay, and that's not a problem. If you need to go, there's no need for guilt or shame But I want to simply give us the opportunity to take advantage of these things. Matthew 18, verses 19 and 20. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Context of that is always the will of God. When we agree and ask for the will of God to be done in a situation, we'll have that petition answered. In verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Now, obviously, Jesus is with each of us, no matter where we are. But the point is here that there is the promise of his presence for a special corporate blessing that results in answered petitions. And so that's something that we should value, that we should esteem, and take advantage of that opportunity. God answers our prayers in our own private prayer closet, and yet there's a special blessing that's promised when we gather together to pray in his name as a congregation. Now, when I say these things, I don't want anyone to feel obligated to come and spend time in prayer whenever, not only today, but whenever I invite anyone to come around the altar to pray. It should never be done out of guilt or shame. It should be understood that it's simply an opportunity that we can take advantage of. And not everyone is going to be able to do that at every service, and there's no reason to explain or try to justify. It's just each of us have to be led of the Lord. The only motive that should cause you to come around and pray at these altars is, number one, faith, understanding of the opportunity and the value of it, and just to respond in faith. That's the only motive for our service, in no matter what form it takes. And again, God is not going to be concerned with your position or your posture when you pray, whether you kneel or stand, or he's just not concerned about that, but he is concerned about a heart of faith and a heart of understanding. I don't want anyone to feel like this is a rebuke. It's just for me to fail to give the congregation an opportunity and to fail to encourage God's people to take advantage of these kinds of opportunities, then I would be failing as an under-shepherd to protect and to guide the flock. So take it with the motive with which it was given, my responsibility before the Lord. So please don't consider my words this morning as some kind of rebuke or correction, but simply a reminder of what we have, the privilege that we have to pray together. On another occasion, in Acts chapter 4, when Peter and the disciples were threatened by the Jewish leaders at the time not to preach in Jesus' name anymore, or they would suffer the consequences, we read that the corporate prayers of the saints were once again heard and answered. And so we'll read this passage in Acts 4, 23 to 31. And being let go, this is after Peter and the apostles had been beaten and threatened, and now they're let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them, that is, forbidding them to preach anymore in Jesus' name. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, so this prayer, someone may have been leading out in prayer, but they were all in agreement together with what was being prayed here. Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, all together, corporately, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Their prayers were answered, weren't they? We need to be a bold people in this dark age in which we're living. We need that same boldness too, don't we? With that short exhortation, then let's take our prayer requests before we come around the altars. There are so many ongoing needs in the assembly, and that we need to pray together. And again, you're welcome to stay in the chair where you are, but I just invite you to just wait upon the Lord. Our lives are so busy, our schedules are so busy, but the Lord took time to leave the realms of glory to die on the cross for us. We can take a few minutes to call upon Him, to worship Him, but then also to have the opportunity to ask Him to meet the needs of this assembly and the members of this assembly.